Bethlehem Star. It's at this time we want to take a few minutes and focus on the Christmas story as it lays out in the Bible and how it all comes together and how it unfolds. I know many of you are familiar with it, but I want to go back even a little bit farther. When I think about the Christmas story, I think about we're in the year of 2015, getting ready to go into the year of 2016. So we're 2016 years past the virgin birth, the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're looking at the virgin birth of Christ from a historical standpoint as we look back, and it's a historical fact that Jesus did live, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God, was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, and there as he was born and came into this world, lived a sinless and perfect life, and was obedient all the way to the cross of Calvary, some 33 and a half years later, given his life for you and I, that we could have the opportunity to have eternal life. That was not the case in the Old Testament. And when I think about the Old Testament, if you go to the birth of Christ at the virgin birth, and back up prior to that, the world lived about, 4,000 plus years prior to the virgin birth of Christ. So what their message always was at that time is they knew a Savior was coming. They knew a Messiah was coming. They knew somebody in Israel that there would be the promised seed. And all the way back to the days of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all through the prophets in the Old Testament. And you can see prophecy that is laid out by the prophets, the major prophets, the minor prophets. As they talked about, as the Holy Spirit revealed to them that there needed to be a Savior come, there needed to be a Messiah to come, there needed to be a Redeemer to come, they just didn't know when he was coming. So year after year, 1,000 years goes by, another 1,000 years goes by. Now think about that. Another 1,000 years goes by, another 1,000 years goes by. And all of a sudden, about 4,000 years into that, all of a sudden, I find this verse of Scripture. And one of the prophets in the Old Testament by the name of Isaiah, you know, God the Holy Spirit revealed himself to these prophets. And so the Holy Spirit revealed to them, enlightened them, and showed to them, although they may not have understood everything, revealed to Isaiah and said to Isaiah simply this, that the Lord himself shall give you a sign. That sign is talking about there's going to be a Savior that's going to come. And what is that sign? It's in Isaiah 7:14, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So God come down and revealed to Isaiah, and he said, I'm going to give you in history, I'm going to give you a sign, I'm going to give you something that you can look at and identify to that the Messiah is coming into the world. And that sign is going to be Emmanuel, that's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls it here, the Emmanuel simply means in the Bible, God with us. I think about that, never has a virgin birth ever been done before in recorded history. It's a miracle. It's miraculous. And it's never been done. So God simply says, through all the prophets and through all these years, I'm going to give you a sign that a Savior's coming, a Messiah's coming. And that sign is going to be the virgin birth. There's only been one recorded in history. And that simply is God the Father realizing, taking himself, God, there's only one God, incarnating himself down into the human race, conceived by the Holy Spirit of God into a lady, woman by the name of Mary, and therefore came forth a virgin-born son into this world. So it says here in the Scripture that this virgin shall conceive and bear that son and call his name Emmanuel. We find over a couple more chapters, you know, Israel really needed hope. They needed an answer. Israel needed a Savior. They needed a Messiah. They just didn't know where he was coming from. And so we find again, Isaiah wrote these two verses for you and I to understand. It says simply in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And think about this now. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So here's the Messiah that he comes. Here's God the Father coming down and incarnating himself and putting himself in the form of a man. And they're calling him now Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The names have been put on him. And I think about those names. Wonderful. There's no greater name today than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody's, no birth has been recorded as magnificent and unusual and different than the birth of the virgin birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife and I had the distinct privilege. We have three children, two boys and a daughter. I had the privilege to be in the delivery room with all three. And it was a very special time in my life to be there in that room when my three children were born. I remember it like it was yesterday. It's very special to see how God brings life into the world, and then you see that newborn baby come, and just the experience of that is just, to me, it's one of the greatest life experiences you could ever have as a parent. And so you find here that he comes into this world, but no birth is ever as great as the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he comes into this world, and God identifies him through Isaiah here as Wonderful. The Counselor, I think about that, you know. If you're here in the holiday season and you need some help, you need some instruction, you need some counseling, you need some wisdom, find that in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about this, what they call in here, our Mighty God, the Mighty God. And there is no God but one, and that is the Creator God of the universe. You know, there are many religions in the world. And as you think about all the religions of the world, I've been reading a lot lately about, you know, are all these religions, do they fly all under the same banner of one God? Well, if your religion or whatever it is, if you believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate in the flesh, and you believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, then I could say that you and I be brothers in Christ and there is one God under that. But if you do not believe in Jesus Christ as deity, you don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ, and that he is God, then I would say, no, we don't believe in the same God. And so we find that here there is one God, and that's the Mighty God, and that's what Isaiah refers to him here, the Everlasting Father. Never has been a time he did not exist. There never shall be a time that he will cease to exist. He has always existed, and I find this here, then, the last label that was put on him, the Prince of Peace. You know, you think about that, it's really God the Father coming down, incarnating himself through that virgin birth, and trying to bring peace between man and God. And you know what? This world will never find peace until they find Jesus Christ. And when they find the peace, the Prince of Peace, and we find that will not happen here on this earth until the millennial reign of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And then we find there shall be peace. But until then, this world that we live in will always have turmoil, will always have evil, will always have difficulties and struggles until the Prince of Peace shows up, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and our Prince of Peace. And when he comes, then there shall be peace. We find in the Christmas story, I think you cannot really tell a true picture of the Christmas story if you don't reference Isaiah and what he said and what he saw through that prophecy. But you also cannot see the Christmas story if you don't see what's found in Matthew. Matthew records, when you look at the Christmas story here, the lineage of Joseph through the line of Joseph. Both Joseph and Mary was of the lineage of King David. It was in David's line. It's interesting, we just studied that in Bible study here on Wednesday night, and how the genealogy of Joseph, the genealogy of Mary, and how that God brought through that genealogy the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find in Matthew 1 on the Christmas story, simply says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused. That word espoused in the Bible, in verse 18, means to be betrothed. It means to be committed to. So when they were espoused, in order to become not espoused, under Hebrew definition or in Bible days at that time, literally required a divorce. So you find that they were committed. Joseph and Mary were committed. They were espoused to each other. Mary was espoused to Joseph But the Bible says before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So get the picture here on this virgin birth. Here's Joseph and here's Mary, espoused to each other, but had not had, as husband and wife, they're not husband and wife yet, had not had sexual relations, not had that close relationship as a husband and wife, but they were committed to and espoused to each other. And so we find that prior to that relationship, we find the Holy Spirit come down and conceived the seed into Mary, and therefore came forth the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says she was found with that child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, verse 19, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now think about that. The sentence for that, here's a man, Joseph, espoused to a woman that he's getting ready to marry and pregnant by somebody else. Grounds for that in Bible days was stoning by death, being stoned till you die. So Joseph knew that, and so we find here he was not willing to make her an example publicly, and so he is minded then to put her away privately. And so the Bible says, though, that Joseph then, he thought on these things. That's a lot to think about. He thought on these things. And then, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So God the Father came down and gave to Joseph that assurance that everything's going to be all right, that that seed that's in Mary that you're getting ready to be your wife is conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. In verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And the Bible simply says then in verse 21, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what Christmas is really all about. That's why he came. That's why he was born. That's why he was born of a virgin. That's why he lived a sinless and perfect life. That's why he was obedient all the way to the cross of Calvary, to the death, the burial, resurrection, and ascending back to the Father and coming one day soon for the sins to save people from their sins. I don't know where you're at in that today. If you're here and you've not yet trusted Christ and not asked forgiveness of your sins, Jesus is ready to save you. He is ready to forgive you of your sins. All you got to do is believe that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's why he came. It's the only reason he came. He came to give you and I eternal life. Because all you got to do is believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and believe it in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. That's why Jesus came and was born of a virgin. The Bible is very clear on that, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the Bible says in verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Don't forget that name Emmanuel. It simply means God with us. It's how much God loved you and I that he came and went through this whole process to be with us, to offer a redemption for mankind. Emmanuel, the Bible says in verse 23, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. So we find that Joseph respected that, Joseph honored that, Joseph understood that she was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God, and then upon the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, took Mary as his wife. And we do know from studying the Bible that there are other children that Mary had later on after the birth of Christ. I think 6 more children. I think the Bible records about 7 children that Mary had. So Matthew records that, the story there, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Luke gives us a little bit more information that really talks about that night in Bethlehem that we normally don't get over here in the book of Matthew. And so as you realize here in the birth of Christ, the birth of the Lord Jesus, Luke's version simply says that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. You know, when you think about this as it unfolds, sometimes things happen in life and we don't understand why, and we just got to trust God that he knows what he's doing.
And this is what was taking place here as the taxation went out, and now they had to find their way back to the land of their nativity, which would be for Bethlehem. And so in verse 2 it says, "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city." Well, that happened to be Bethlehem for them. They had to go back to Bethlehem. And verse 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is Jerusalem, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary." And again, the Bible says, "his espoused wife, being great with child." So we know that being great with child, she was in the latter stages of that pregnancy. She was in the latter stages, ready to be delivered of that child as she makes that journey. And by the way, that's no small journey. If you go from where she was at in Galilee and travel down to Bethlehem where they're at, it's about 70 miles approximately as she makes that journey. No easy task. And those of you that have had labor and given birth to children, you can understand that as you're great with child and in the later part of it, that's probably not an easy journey to make. But it says that she makes that journey, and so it was that they were there as the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And then in verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and then wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, you think about that in verse 7. You know, it's quite a production our children, our oldest son was born right here to Annapolis and Wayne. Our other two were born in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, when I was out there pastoring a church years ago. As you think about it, you know, it's quite a production to get everything ready, you know, get everything ready to go to the hospital and make that. And, you know, you go to nice medical facilities, you have nice, doctors and nurses and all the stuff that we have today. And that wasn't the case they had back then. As a matter of fact, when they went, they couldn't even find a place. And so it says that she brought her son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Trying to visualize that, and because there was no room for them in the inn. And what's amazing to me is then as it unfolds, how that this little baby born here in a manger, that the message would get out, and God is at work letting the world know that the Savior was to be born. Because it says that there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I think you and I would be too. You're out there in the middle, if you're watching your sheep and in the shepherd's fields, and all of a sudden these angels show up, and this light shines around you, and the Bible says they became sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And again, he uses this word sign, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, I've often wondered when I look at that in verse 13, I wonder what that sounded like at that time. I think it's something that our minds cannot even comprehend. I don't even think that we can think as, and I love the music, and as great as the music is this side of heaven, I think when we get to heaven, it's going to be elevated to a whole nother level, something that you and I cannot even comprehend. So when you think about it here, it says that suddenly there was an angel, with the angel, a whole multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men." And then it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, they go back into heaven, the shepherds then said one to another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they had made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I think those shepherds were a little bit excited. I think as they revealed and God revealed himself to them, and as the light come down and shone and they carried that message with enthusiasm. That I think the same way that you and I are today, that we're to take the gospel story of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater event in our life than the day that you and I get saved and come to know Christ. The virgin-born Son of God reveals himself to our hearts, and we ask him in as Savior. My friend, if you are here this Christmas Eve, you've never done that. It's a very simple process. You've got to understand that, number one, that you and I were sinners. And there's a sin debt on our life, and we cannot pay it. No matter what we do, we can't work enough for it. We can't give enough for it. There's nothing you and I can do to earn that. So there's a sin debt on our life. And so Jesus, through that virgin birth, stepped up and said, I'll pay your sin debt. That debt's too great for you to pay, so I'll be that penalty. I'll pay your penalty. I'll pay that debt for you. I'll pay it in full. Because all you've got to do is believe in the gift of salvation and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and ask Christ to come into your heart and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so they came here, and we find that as they came, it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they all wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And what's interesting in verse 19 and then verse 20, but Mary kept all these things. Think about that. Here's the mother now. Kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's amazing. It makes you wonder, what was she thinking about? Here's the Holy Spirit revealing himself to her that it's okay, Mary. You're going to be found with child of the Holy Ghost, conceived by the Holy Spirit. She has this relationship with Joseph, and all this is going on in her life. And then she makes this journey to Bethlehem to have this child born. And so God gives her. There's a lot to think about and to digest here for Mary. And she kept all that in her heart and pondered in her heart. And then the Bible says in verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The greatest gospel story, the greatest message in the Word of God, the greatest story at Christmas is a story right here in Matthew 1 and Luke 2. And so with every head bowed today as we kind of bring the service to a close today, I want to ask you this simple question, friend, at Christmas. Do you know the virgin birth? Do you know the virgin-born Son of God? Do you know Christ as your Savior? I'm not talking about being a member of the church. I'm not talking about, how religious you are. I'm talking about today. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the virgin-born Son of God? If not, you can do that today, right now, in this Christmas Eve service. You can open your heart and believe and trust in him for eternal life. You say, well, Pastor Rick, how do I do that?